people, we all like stories that inspire. People who go out and do something different, something bold, something courageous. And it can happen in all different types of people. It doesn't matter if they're male or female, doesn't matter where they live, their age. People inspire us with so many different things. It could be maybe a story of some athlete. It could be people who just work to put a marriage back together. It could be someone launching a new business or beginning maybe a new ministry that they're reaching out in faith to do. Maybe there's some challenge that comes into their life. Maybe someone's just received a medical diagnosis and they know what's before them, but they step out boldly and courageously in faith to trust God through the situation. I think we need stories of inspiration because they say it can be done. It's possible. And maybe if we see ourselves and we can relate in some type of way, we say, well, we're not alone. Other people have done this before. Other people have tried. Other people have been bold or courageous. Chapter 11 of Hebrews is one of the most inspirational chapters in all of the Bible. I encourage you sometime this week to read that. That's going to be the basis of this new sermon series between now and Easter. It's an amazing chapter. If you were to condense it all together and make this statement, it's kind of like summary of what it says in the chapter. Men and women through faith have, it says, they've conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, experienced weakness, turned to strength. There's no doubt that God has done incredible things through men and women of faith. Examples, again, are throughout Scripture, and I know that God intended it to be that way. Hebrews 11 gives us so much, not so much a definition of faith, as we will see, but rather a description of what it looks like to be in action. But that term faith sometimes confuses us. There's much misunderstanding as to what exactly faith is. I think there are some people who think that faith is just believing in something. There's really maybe nothing behind it, or there's no reason, no facts, no proof. So it's just kind of a blind thing. It's a blind faith. But what is faith? Well, we could say that faith is a gift from God. It's the Holy Spirit that creates faith in us who are believers. But faith is a trust or confidence in something or someone. And it says there in Hebrews, again, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, you know, the promise of things even yet not seen. There's this confidence, a trust as though we do have it. We can see it, we possess it as if we actually had it. But the trust and confidence must be based on something. As author Josh McDowell often said, my heart cannot rejoice in what my mind rejects. In other words, blindly putting trust in something, you know, has shown itself to be unreliable. So true faith or biblical faith is a trust and confidence in the heart and things we know to be reliable. They've shown themselves to be true. Again, there are those people who believe that when it comes to matters of religion or in the spiritual realm of things, that we kind of just enter again into this area or realm of blind faith. But blind faith can be destroyed. I've been to a lot of different places. I've traveled. I've been all over the United States. If you told me this morning, hey, we're going to take a trip. We're going to go to so-and-so. Well, I say, well, I've been there. Let me draw you a map on how to get there. And many of you who know my sense of direction say, all right, you got the questions going on in your mind. But you say, all right. And in all sincerity, I draw you a map on how to get around a certain city or how to get to a certain place. But then after you leave here, you well, not on Sunday because they're closed, but if it were open, you'd stop by AAA and pick up one of their maps, or you would take out your smartphone and you would say, all right, this is how I'm going to get there. It's not because you believe that I'm intentionally trying to mislead you or send you in the wrong direction or hurt you in some way. You just say, you know what? I know Pastor Jim means well, and he can be a pretty sincere guy, but I'm going to look to something that I know has proven itself to be reliable and trustworthy. So you go to the map that the map makers make, right? I love this illustration. I've shared it, and I've actually done it many times, and I've shared with you before. It's the idea of the bridge, where I've taken two chairs, put a piece of cardboard across a bridge, I mean the expanse there, and have somebody jump up there on the chair and say, now walk across the bridge. It's cardboard. But before they go, I say, all right, we're going to chant faith, faith, faith. And with all confidence, you say, hey, you're a person of faith, right? Yeah. All right, walk across the bridge. I don't make it high, and I don't purposely try to hurt anyone, but usually what happens is the bridge kind of collapses and it falls, and I laugh at them and say, you must not have any faith. So get back up there and try it again. And chant faith, 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 and they go across and they fall again. And they say, well, I guess you don't have any faith. Well, I say, well, let's try this. And I take the cardboard away and put a nice big board over the expanse of the two chairs. Now let's go. We'll chant faith. And all of a sudden they go across. He says, well, I thought, so you do have faith. I think you can see where this illustration is going. Is it about sincerity or is it about something else? What's shown itself to be reliable that you can put your weight on? See, the issue is not the intensity of your belief or the sincerity of your faith. What do you have faith in? What is it in? See, that's what we call objective faith. What is the object of your faith? See, the value of the faith is not in the person believing, but in the one who is believed. The value is not in me, but rather in what I am believing. We have to have the right object. So who's a reliable object of our faith? It's Jesus Christ. See, we as Christians have faith in Jesus Christ. It is in Him that we put our faith, in Him that we put our trust, because He has shown Himself to be credible and reliable. You can literally rest the weight of your life on Him and in Him. Faith in the right thing, you see, gives courage and confidence. Confident trust causes people to do things even though. See, Noah acted when warned about things not yet seen. He started building that boat out in the middle of the desert. Abraham obeyed and went even though he didn't necessarily know where he was going, but the person who told him where to go knew where he was going. As it says in Hebrews 11:13, all these people, this collection of people, they were all still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw and welcomed them from a distance. But they lived in hope as though they had experienced it. Why? Because the person who was telling them and giving them the promises, they could trust in Him because He has always shown Himself to be worthy of their trust. There are two essential factors in the faith equation. Both need to be there to make it, in a sense, complete. It's trust plus action equals faith. It's trusting God and then acting on that trust. Almost at any given point in time in life, we all have things before us. And because we've not yet experienced it or the final outcome, it's the unknown. Obstacles show up to make us doubt, not want to trust, or to make it difficult. It's just the way it goes. It could be pride, could be doubt, could be fear. Maybe it just doesn't make sense, or maybe you just don't want to. We all have the unknowns before us. Will we step out in faith even though? Kids show us trust and faith in action all the time. I remember when my son Jonathan was at that point when he was really, really small. He was at that trusting age where he just literally just leap off of things and head towards me expecting me to catch him. He wouldn't give any warning. It was off a counter, off the side of a pool, and just say, as he was in midair, catch me, Daddy. Because I had caught him, and in his mind, I'm strong enough to catch him. Isn't it amazing when we accomplish things we never thought we could? Took that first step. That wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. It worked. That's why I so like getting people out of their normal context to do things they had never done before, thought they could, and put them in a situation to do it with other people. And they come away and say, that wasn't too bad. It worked. We have to continually remind ourselves, too, of what we believe. Because neither this belief or any other will just automatically remain alive in our mind and our heart. In a sense, it needs to be fed. And it's fed by God's word, his promises and stories of God's faithfulness and his work. Because God is faithful. Maybe there is something that we need to do. And even though it's the unknown, or maybe it's uncomfortable when we think about it. Well, if you're ever presented with something to do, and you say, no problem, and you go off and do it, it's not faith. Not faith. It's when we step out, even though. It kind of captured in this Lenten season, in the spirit of what Lent is to be. Because I think this, what the intent of this time of year is not so much as giving something up. It's looking to the one that we can trust. It's a time of reflection and repentance. And repentance just literally, again, means to realign or to turn. Either turn towards something or away from something. Some examples of maybe something that we could do to step out. Maybe it's saying, all right, I need to step out and begin to pray for someone that you need to have a change of mind or heart about. There's been some barrier there, and it's time to approach God and say, God, it's time that this changes and begin to work in my heart. Or maybe it's making things right. Maybe you come to realize, yes, I am right now living outside of God's will in some area of my life, and I need to confront it, and with your help, God, I need to seek your help to stop this. Maybe God's putting on your heart to try or be a part of some new ministry or thing that you've maybe thought about doing, but maybe you're too hesitant to do, and God says, all right, let's do this. It would give you a sense to stretch you in some way. Maybe it's just something you need to surrender and say, I don't need this anymore. I need to just offer this up so I can move on. See, it says so beautifully in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and then he's going to make your path straight. But it's putting your trust in God because of who he is and what we know that he has done and been faithful with. And it's choosing something that we need to trust God with. That'd be a great prayer. So just this week, as we go through our normal prayer time, just say, all right, Lord, too, remember my family at Trinity, that collectively we would just begin to just step out more and just trust you for who you are and what you want to do. Or maybe there's something that we need to accomplish in our life or do. We just know we need your extra strength. Just remember one another this week and going forward. Remember, it's not the intensity of your faith. It's the object that you have faith in. Your faith is in Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to the next five Sundays. Because the next five Sundays, we're going to look at example after example after example of people that God worked through in special ways, all different kinds of situations where they stepped out and did something in faith. And not just the people that we'll see here in Hebrews 11, but more contemporary examples as well that will also reflect the same thing. How they trusted God and God worked. Because you experience it and you say, all right, if they could, I can or we can. Others have done it. Others have accomplished. And that's what becomes an inspiration for us. And that's why the entire scripture, all the scriptures are filled with stories of God working in history, in people's lives and in situations of all different kinds, to be a reminder to us that we can know and look back and say, yeah, well, God was faithful. And he was faithful here, and he was faithful there with this kind of person, with that kind of person, in this situation, and in that situation. He's faithful. Faith stories, real life examples. Trust plus action equals faith. Not so much a definition, but a description and an example. And I think it will be an inspiration to us as God is looking at us in our lives to say, yeah, with other people, with you, look at what we can do to further your kingdom. A good thing that we can look together at who God is and what he wants to do in our lives. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.